John's story of Mary anointing Jesus at Bethany is told and experienced by our congregations following the lectionary in the last Sunday of Lent before Palm Sunday. It is a story of the preparations for Jesus' passion, death, and burial. This is a passionate story. So I want to talk about what's involved in that, because that has often been either eliminated or minimized in the telling and interpretation of this story. Specifically, the ointment that Mary uses to anoint Jesus is a phrase that is present also in Mark's story of the anointing. In Greek, mouru nardou pistakes palutalous in Mark. And John picks up that same phrase, nardou, mouru nardou pistakes palutimon in John. It is a luxuriously liquid sound that conveys in the sound of those words and the building up of that of this nard what it was. It is unfortunately translated as perfume. Perfume is, you know, comes in a little bottle and you put it out in drops, and you put it behind your ear or behind your knees or whatever, you know, in order to have a nice fragrance on your body. But this was ointment that was imported from India, and it was the most expensive ointment that was available in Israel in Jesus' day. A pound of this ointment would not have been a pound of perfume, but a pound of ointment that would come in a jar. And a pound of ointment would be in a jar that's about 3 inches high and 5 to 6 inches in diameter. It would be a big jar of ointment. And so the fragrance from this ointment that Mary used to anoint Jesus' feet was the most precious thing that one could imagine. Furthermore, now there's discussion about this in the commentaries about that Mary wouldn't put perfume on his feet and then wipe it off with her hair. Well, that isn't what was going on in this. She was massaging his feet with this ointment. And then, as an act of passionate love, letting her hair down and rubbing the ointment into his feet with her hair. Now, in the ancient world, the only time that a woman would take her hair down was when she was making love to her lover. So the only time that women would let down their hair was when they were ready for bed and were going to make love. And so for Mary to do this is an expression of intense love, and it is highly sensual. So what is happening in this is then a supreme gift of love that Mary is giving to Jesus in preparation for his burial. Now, there is a mistranslation in the NRSV that I really don't understand. The NRSV reads, leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. And the note says that the Greek lacks she bought it, and it does. There's nothing that says that the words she bought it is in the Greek. The translator just made that up because he had an idea about what it meant. But the meaning is quite clear. If it is translated more literally, you know, let her alone, in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial. So what Jesus is saying is, let her alone. Don't require, you know, don't criticize her for having bought it. And she can keep it so that she can anoint me when I need to be buried. Now, that didn't happen in the story because he was crucified. But in John, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea wrap his body in 100 pounds of spices. So John is, he's really into, you know, this, the gifts of royal honor for Jesus in relation to his burial. And that is what is the norm that is present in this story, is that what she is doing is an extravagant act of love and devotion in anticipation of his death. Now, what is implied in this statement of Jesus, you know, let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial, is that she didn't use it all in anointing his feet, which makes complete sense, because to use a pound of ointment on his feet would be virtually impossible, you know, as a massage. So what is implied is that this ointment, which was worthy of a king, is used by Mary to communicate her love for him. And the cultural norms in relation to the anointing were virtually universal in the ancient world, this was a supreme gift of love that a woman could give to a man. Judas' intervention, then, is jarring. His words are introduced as, you know, one of the 12 who is about to betray him. And so John has no compassion for Judas. He is introduced as the betrayer. And his words are harsh. Why wasn't this ointment sold for 200, 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? And then John explains, you know, that he didn't care about the poor. But he kept the common purse because he was a thief. And he would keep the common purse, and he would even steal from the funds that Jesus and his group had, which he managed. So maximum alienation from Judas is the goal of this part of the story. It's a highly negative characterization, and it is fully appropriate in the telling of this to express and to tell this with a tone of condemnation and of you know, a high degree of negativity. Jesus' response is then to let her alone. But he is relatively compassionate with Judas in his response. And then the story ends with his quotation about the poor, that you will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. The tradition of value in relation to this in Jewish culture was that acts of mercy, especially prior to death, are of supreme value. Even acts of justice in defense of the poor are second in value to actions that are done in mercy prior to death. So this is an extremely poignant story that begins with the description of the dinner that Lazarus and Mary and Martha gave for Jesus, clearly in gratitude for his raising Lazarus and giving him new life. And then this anointing of his feet by Mary and this gesture of supreme love, to which Judas responds with hostility, but Jesus recognizes what it is that she has done, asks Judas to recognize this as a supreme act of mercy prior to his death. You can tell this story with real passion.